BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
This is your For Fitness Sake podcast with me, Matt Thacker.
And me, Stephen Brown.
We've got loads of episodes for you to listen to, including Savor the Gladiator, Mary Earps, Eddie Hearn, Anthony Joshua, you name it. They've all been in the podcast and all for you to be inspired.
And to inspire you today, we are looking at the world of snooker with professional player Kyron Wilson. He's joined us for a chat to talk about how he stays mentally focused, competes at the highest level, and how he stays fit. Matt, you started by asking our famous question.
We believe that fitness is different for every single person. Everyone's got their own fitness journey in life. What does fitness mean to you?
Yeah, it's obviously very important. I think it's going to be especially important for me in particular this year, because we've got a lot of long-haul travelling ahead of us. And, you know, I don't know if you guys have been sort of on a long-haul flight, but, you know, with jet lag and stuff like that, you obviously want to perform to an optimal level. And you need to be quite fit and healthy to be able to do that. So, in terms of my career, in terms of obviously trying to perform at the highest level, you know, the fitness is obviously going to help that.
It's a very mental game as well, isn't it, snooker? And you have to be very switched on at all times. So I can imagine things like jet lag, having to get over that quite quickly and get, you know, your game ready. How do you deal with that? How do you get yourself in the right mindset to go again?
You know, I like to live by, you know, a happy snooker player is a dangerous one. So I don't know how you go about getting that. You know, I'm very lucky. I've got an awesome family life, lots of good friends and people working around me. So, you know, I think it's just about dusting yourself off, moving on to the next one. There's lots and lots of opportunity in the world of snooker now. But yeah, obviously you need to keep your focus. You know, even little things. One thing, you know, my brother is my manager now. He's a qualified personal trainer, so he knows all about his nutrition and, you know, that sort of thing. I didn't realise how important it was to keep on top of your water, you know, so he makes sure I'm drinking plenty of water, keeping myself hydrated, and, you know, that's obviously good for the concentration levels.
Mm. You say you're on these long-haul flights. Do you ever play like the little snooker games you can play on air or on your phone just to keep the training going when you're on the flight?
Do you know what? Yeah, I don't, but my brother does.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm more of a solitaire man.
Okay,
I'm,
yeah.
I'm quite old school and boring. So, I know a lot of people do that.
Talking of the training, though, when you're not on flights, what's like a typical training day for you? Is it just like repetition constantly all the time? Or is there other training elements that you add to your training?
Snooker is a very repetitive sport. You know, obviously, it's all about muscle memory. So you're trying to create a rhythm, routines, and obviously the more you do it, the sort of the better you're going to be at it. So for me, I prefer to play other sort of fellow professionals. So I have lots of people traveling all over the country to come and play me, which is good for me. It means you're sort of combating different styles and it always keeps you on your toes. You know, I feel like I give it more concentration if I'm in a match type environment rather than just sort of putting solo practicing. I do a little bit with my brother, but I like to try and play matches to keep it fresh.
You just said the word combat, Kyron. Is that the mindset you're going in? It's a battle. It's, you know, you're going up against someone. You have to get into that. Because you're known as the warrior. So I guess that would make sense.
Yeah, I see it like that. Sometimes you're at war with your opponent out there. That's how it feels sometimes. And yeah, you know, obviously each player has different strengths. And I think part of the, you know, the fun of match play snooker is finding out how to sort of exploit other players' weaknesses and, you know, sort of putting your strengths against their strengths. And, you know, I believe this is one of the toughest sports in the world. You know, no shot, no frame is ever the same. And, you know, there's always sort of a different surprise that's always around the corner.
I'm always intrigued with like one-on-one sports, you know, whether it be boxing, tennis, snooker. What's the mindset like with your opponent? Because do you like want to catch eye contact? Do you want to try and avoid eye contact? Can you read much into their body language?
Yeah, you can. You know, there's been lots of occasions, you know, I've been a victim of it myself, where you might have the old rap of the knuckles on the table, yeah. The odd cue bang on the floor. But I think it's good. It shows a bit of character. You know, I couldn't quite go, I know you just mentioned your tennis, I couldn't quite go sort of Nick Kyrgios style and start smashing rackets up. But, yeah, I think it's good for the sport. It's good for the fans to engage. It shows how much it means to us, and it sort of keeps everyone on their toes.
You've obviously gone against some of the best players to have ever played the game. You know, thinking of like Ronnie O'Sullivan, you've had some big battles with him. When someone is like that and that level of kind of, you know, almost respect in the sport itself, how do you, is that a different preparation for you going into that one? And obviously he's known as well, Ronnie, particularly for those mind games, perhaps for those little things clapping, I know, on the first shot you do and things like this. How do you get over that obstacle of playing someone like that?
You know, for me, he was obviously one of my heroes growing up as a young player. You know, that changes when you turn professional, because you can't view your opponent like that. Well, I believe you can't. For me, it's about trying to learn from playing players like that. And it's about testing my own ability. And I love that, you know, when you play him, there's so many tests, you know, not just him. It's, you know, John Higgins, Mark Williams, Mark Selby. You have all these tests against these great names in our sport. And, you know, if you do want to be the best, it is that old cliche, you do have to beat the best. So there's no point in sort of, you know, ducking and diving from them. You've got to sort of go full steam ahead and obviously take them on.
Yeah. Can you give me any advice how to like shut off and get yourself in the zone?
I think for me in particular, I have my own sort of pre-shot routines in terms of my snooker. So that gets rid of everything that's going on around me. So, you know, I don't know, there might be something that you might do if you had a certain free kick or a certain pass that, you know, you go through, yeah, like a bit of a process.
Yeah.
I feel like if you follow your process, it gets rid of everything around you. So, yeah, for me, there's a pre-shot routine. So it's all about the repetition, and that kind of takes care of the mist in the background of everything, yeah, else that's going on, whether you feel a bit anxious or a bit nervous. And as a youngster, I remember playing Peter Ebdon in a charity pool match, and he was like my hero because he was locally, yeah, like obviously a sporting icon for snooker. And yeah, at the age of 6, I turned up in my waistcoat, my red waistcoat. He broke off, and I was so, so nervous in this crowd. And I managed to clear the table. So I just focused on the table, yeah, on the, yeah, shot at hand, and just got on with it.
I remember watching Peter Ebdon years ago, only on the TV. And I remember he would take so long lining up his shot. And you're like, you're waiting, and you're still waiting. And then finally he does it, and it's perfect. He's one of them players, I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, who just, he seems like he shuts off the outside world so well because he's just focused on that one thing. It doesn't matter if he takes 5 minutes to line up the perfect shot.
Yeah, and I think that's important in our sport as well. I think it's nice to have the diversity between the different styles. I think it would be boring if everybody played in one particular way. But one thing for Peter, for me in particular, you know, he was one of the best single ball potters I've ever seen, and shot makers. He could find a shot that a lot of players wouldn't see. And all of a sudden, you know, he's potted a ball that kind of wasn't on. And the next thing you know, he's made 100 and you've lost the frame. So I learned a lot from Peter, and, you know, he's a great character. And yeah, again, we obviously, we need those in our sport.
Imagine on the way up, you're just trying to get to the top of your sport constantly. I see you've got a young family now, you've got two young boys. Does that then change when you've got a family? You're literally doing it for them now. And how do you feel like when you're going into to compete, and are you doing it for your family?
Yeah, you know, they're really good. They understand sort of the do's and the don'ts. You know, they're kindly being very quiet behind this door.
Yeah, thanks, boys.
So, yeah, they understand what needs to be done. My youngest in particular, Bailey, he's absolutely obsessed with the game. He's currently got a waistcoat on now, doing some pool practice.
Nice.
Yeah, Finley's really into his football, and he's been to a few events. So he loves sort of the razzmatazz of the big sort of showcase snooker events. And yeah, they just totally understand what I have to do. From a very young age, where pre-COVID, I was traveling to China 5 or 6 times a year. You know, Finley was only a toddler, and I would always say to him, look, you know, I am going away, but I will be back.
Yeah.
And I need to do this because, you know, I'm trying to earn pennies for our life, for our house, you know, for the things you want to wear. And, you know, he's understood that growing up, and he's at an age now where he totally understands.
It's lovely to hear that your son's got his waistcoat on now, and they're getting to their sport, which is great. What about your upbringing? Is it Kettering, right? Is that where you're from?
Yeah.
Nice. What about your upbringing with your family, your parents? How did you get into the sport and what was it like growing up?
For me, I feel like I was just put on this earth to play snooker. I feel like I was naturally born to play snooker. I never really watched it on TV as a youngster. I know that's how a lot of people got into it, from being inspired from the likes of you, Jimmy White, Alex Higgins. For me, it was, you know, if anything, it was Big Break. I used to love the weekends going and watching Big Break with Jim Davidson. Early days, I had a toy golf set as a toddler, and I put the toy golf ball on a coffee table, turned the golf club round and started queuing with it. And I was only about two or three. But that's just how my mind naturally wanted to work that out. Yeah. So, you know, my mum and dad sort of seen that early on. And in my godparents' house, they had a games room at the end of the garden. And my dad would always go around and play against his best mate. But it was a no child zone. So I was always banging at the door. So the fascination just grew. But I have, you know, an amazing supportive family. My mum and dad have remortgaged their house three or four times to keep my snooker career going as a junior. So, you know, they come along to all of the major events now, the Worlds and the Masters and stuff like that. And that's my way of saying thank you. Played a lot of eight ball pool. I think I got to about the age of 11 years old and I was at a crossroads of, right, is it snooker? Is it football? Is it pool? Is it stick to your schoolwork, go college, go uni? And at 11, I made the decision that it was going to be snooker. So that would always be first and then everything else could filter around it.
11 years old, knowing exactly what you want to do. That's impressive. But going from 11-year-old you to then obviously the successes you've had, winner of the European Masters, all sorts of different trophies and things. What does that feel like for you? Like looking back going, do you feel sometimes that I've done it or there's a lot more to be done?
Yeah, I'm nowhere near where I want to be. You know, I'm quite aware of that. I'm quite proud of the sort of steps I've managed to take in a short period of time, really. I won the Shanghai Masters in, I think it was 2015. That was my first ranking title in my career. It was very important to sort of not be a one-hit wonder and fall away, which has happened to a few players. Yeah. So, you know, I've held my own. I've risen the rankings, you know, every year after that. But yeah, it's great to win tournaments like the European Masters. You know, the standard in snooker nowadays is probably the highest it's ever been. The likes of, as you mentioned, your Ronnies, your John Higgins, who are, you know, some of them are saying it's the best snooker they've ever played of recent years. So to be competing and winning titles against those guys is awesome.
I love that you didn't believe in plan B's, just plan A. That's what you wanted to do and you're living your dream. I think that's such an inspiration to those that listening can go, do you know what? Whatever you want to do, you can achieve it with hard work and dedication.
Exactly, yeah.
We're going to do a little bit of a fun round now. We've got five questions for you. Okay. Just like a little quick fire round. So away from snooker, I want to know what's on your bucket list. What's the one thing you want to do?
Away from snooker? Do you know what? I've never been to America. So I would love to go to America with my wife and my kids. So yeah, maybe a nice sort of a good period away where I put the queue down and go and see all the sights and the famous landmarks. And yeah, that might be something quite cool that I'd like to see. But who knows, maybe there might be a snooker event there and I can tie the boat in.
Yeah, nice.
Now, going from America, we're going to go to the moon now. This is a random one that often throws people off. If you could bring one person with you to the moon, who would you bring? Now, I know you're probably thinking you'd want to bring your whole family. So let's just say you're going to the moon for a day. Who are you bringing?
Oh, that's tough. I'm going to upset anyone if I say one family member.
Should we go celebrity?
Go celebrity.
Yeah, she is listening, so I'll have to say my wife. No, I think, I mean, you guys won't be aware of him, but I would say my coach, Barry Stark. He has a fantastic YouTube following, so I'm going to give him a little plug. Barry Stark on YouTube, snooker coach. Yep. He has had such a fascinating life. He was a former prison guard to the point where he was looking after one of the Cray twins in his prison. Wow. So every time he comes away with me, we sit at the bar, we have a glass of wine and just sort of chill and talk about his memories and, you know, he delves into them, and I could listen to him all day long. He's just so full of wisdom. Yeah. So, yeah, I'd say my coach, Barry Starr.
He'd be good company on the moon, to be fair.
Still being coached. You're not switching off even on the moon. Exactly. I love it.
Yeah, that's it.
Number three, next one we've got. If you could be another sports star, so not a snooker player, male or female, and you can live their life and be that sports star, who would you be?
100% Lewis Hamilton.
Oh, nice.
All day long. I love the Formula One. I love driving fast cars. If I could switch, you know, one of the famous questions is, you know, what would you do if you weren't doing what you're doing now? And it would for sure be a Formula One driver, racing driver. I think I just love the thrill of fast cars. Yeah. And, you know, they're traveling to all these glamorous places. And obviously Lewis Hamilton, he's a bit more than a Formula One driver. I think he's stood for a lot of important things. And he's obviously an icon. So, yeah, what a life.
He ain't been to the moon yet, though.
No, he hasn't. But I'll be interested to see who he'd take.
He'd take your coach, probably.
And
the final one is, so this is going to be tricky, I think, for a Chelsea fan. Chelsea to win the next Champions League or yourself to win the next World Championships? What would you go for?
I'm going full on selfish there. I've got to win the World Championships.
That's that then.
And last one for me. So we've had a few pool and snooker players on, haven't we? Mm. And a few darts players. And we asked them the same question. What's more trickier? A 147, a 180 in darts, or a hole-in-one in golf?
Well, I'll throw the question back at you guys. Yep. If you guys were going to have a go at all three of them, which order would you put them in with what you think you would do?
We've done it already. So I've gone toughest is 147, hole in one, then 180. That's what I've gone with.
Yeah. Is that the same as you?
I'll go with you guys.
Yeah. I love that.
Put it this way, my brother had a hole in one. I'm not saying anything against it.
Yeah.
It's obviously amazing. I'm useless at golf. So, they're all tough. They're all amazing, especially under the pressure, whatever environment you're in or for whatever prize it's for. They're all awesome. But I think the 147's the toughest. Hi, guys. I'm Kyron Wilson, and you are listening to the For Fitness Sake podcast.
Kyron Wilson, the snooker player, joining us for a bit of a chat about fitness.
That was brilliant. Thank you, Kyron, for your time. And I think we need to interview his coach now, because if he wants to go to the moon with him, he must be fascinating.
Absolutely.
It'd be great to get an insight to a snooker coach. What would you take on the moon?
I'll go with you, mate.
I was going to say you as well.
Think how many podcasts we could record in that time.
There you go. If you ever go to the moon, all you got to do is download For Fitness Sake, and you can listen to them all. There's 80 plus, and they're all unbelievable.